Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
Tuesday, October 25, 2022, allegedly according to that thing we call a calendar. This is indeed the show you were looking for. How do I know that? Because you're hearing me say all of this crap. Anyway, it is Tuesday, Tuesday, the second broadcast day normally of the week. But last night, I just spent all night, in fact, recording a chapter of the audiobook. So, and not just recording it, but editing it, which was actually the longer of the processes. So that's out. If you're a subscriber to the audiobook, you know it. Anyway, it is what it is. It's Tuesday, and this week we do have Christy Aphrodite with us. Now, last week, she missed the show, and, she explained that on Friday if you keep up with the podcast, so you know what happened. But anyway, it is what it is. Tomorrow, we have, Blind Joe, I know that, and another guest coming on the show. He's got a new song out, so we'll get that rolling. And I don't know what else is going to happen tomorrow night. I forget. But Thursday, we should have Jack Blood and then Mike Swanson and possibly a special guest. So we got a few things in the pipeline for this week, as well as our new Sunday with Aaron Franz and Chris Graves. So that's what's coming up. I got to make some changes to the website. I know the schedule graphic is wrong right now. But that's the way we're going to roll. And I got a lot of website work to do. Anyway, never enough time in the day to get everything done. It is what it is. And somebody who knows a lot about that is our friend at the Ozarks Church of Nature, Christy Aphrodite. Go over to mytrueessence.net. Check out the products and information there. A lot of natural solutions, or soul ablutions, if you will, for various things, to maintain one's health, to fix little problems, to fix big problems, so on and so forth, all over there. And go to ChristyAphrodite.com, where indeed there is a mirror to the O'Shelly.com chat room and all that, where you could listen to this show when it's live or when it's recorded or whatever, because there's a 24/7 stream that Christy has a player for over there, as well as the chat room where you can participate with all of us on Tuesday nights. Oh, one other way you can participate, by dialing in 319-527-5016. I have phone lines open, and I'm working on that southern twang thing, trying to get rid of the Jersey accent. Can't you tell? Not really? All right. Well, I'm working on it. Anyways, I can't get rid of the Jersey accent. I miss Jersey, actually. As dirty, corrupt, and crazy, and whatever, it's still home. Anyways, love Jersey, miss it, definitely do. And for the one listener I have in New Jersey tonight, you know what I'm saying. The bread sucks down here, man. You don't know how good you have it with the bread. Anyways, it is what it is. Let me shut up and talk to Christy Aphrodite, because we might get into a little more about the medical first aid kit that one might have with much more natural objects in it than you'd get at the Walmart prepackaged store. And I do mean the prepackaged store. And God knows what things are going to be like. Holidays coming up. Hey, Halloween's about to happen, if in case you didn't notice. I mean, are you going to do trunk or treat this year? Do kids actually go out and get candy? Are people stupid enough to think there's fentanyl in the candy? Or are they that dumb? Because we're going to give that to 10-year-olds, because that's a fairly profitable drug. And why not give it away as sprees? That's brilliant. Genius. Yeah. Stupidity, fear porn, it is what it is. And anyway. Christy, get my mind on other things. Please, how are you doing tonight?
That was perfect timing, because I just finished my bread. And since you mentioned bread sucking, I might have to, like, help you out and find an easy way to have fresh bread for your family every day and no kneading or anything difficult.
Mm. See, I know how to cook.
Four or five ingredients.
No, that's cool, but I know how to cook, but I am not a baker. There's a difference between cooking and baking.
No, but that's the thing. Obviously, when people start making bread on their own and read recipes, and it never comes out like the picture, right? No. I mean, if you didn't have grandma teaching you. But this one, like, it's no fail for everyone. Like, I've had groups of people at my house, and they said the exact same thing as you. I can't cook, or I can cook, but I can't do bread. I'm like, here's your four ingredients. You can use the fifth one if you want, and you're done. Like, a spatula, a bowl, water, flour, salt, yeast, and maybe a dash of sugar if you like. Stick it in a cast iron, what's that called? Dutch oven. Right. And that's it. It does all the work. You just let it sit. You stir it and let it sit and walk away.
Right.
No kneading. That has to sound attractive.
No, it definitely
especially
does.
Especially when you see these same big loaves of bread I make. They're $12 out in public. Like, yeah. How, what is that? Like, maybe six sandwiches or something? You know?
Yeah, right. Well, it's crazy. All right. Look, here's the thing. I do know how to cook. As a matter of fact, have you ever heard of this concept of selling plates on social media? Have you heard of this?
I don't think I have. Selling okay. What kind of plates?
No,
dinners or
yeah.
Dinner plates?
Yeah, no, dinners. And what it is that people who have decent cooking skills sometimes will supplement their incomes. You know, not obviously they don't do it all the time because then you got to go get a business license and blah, blah, blah. But apparently you can get away with every once in a while doing this thing where you sell plates. People pre-order a type
nice.
Of meal. And let's just say you could do it in your area, and obviously there would be some bread on your plate. There might be a Christie sandwich that is made with I don't know what, but the stuff that you grow there, and maybe you know a few other elements, and you put it together, and it's your special thing. And people would go to like say Facebook and Twitter, and they go sign up and they pay for it, and then of course you're responsible for either delivering it or arranging pickup, but. And there's different ways of doing this, apparently. There's a lot of different options. Now, I only heard of this maybe last year, and I thought it was interesting that some people would do this, right? So what happened
is... So I kind of do that already, Chuck, just
yeah.
without platforms that don't approve of me.
Right. But what I'm saying
you know,
is...
Like, people yeah. know I'm the chick when they have a party and they want to impress their guests or they want just a quick meal or they need a bunch of meals ready for the week.
Right.
Well, yeah.
But here's the cool
so,
thing.
I love that yeah. that's more available for people.
Yeah, well, here's the cool thing is I'm saying that, look, those are people you already know. You might reach new people, right? And explain to them, hey, listen, this is the bread that I make and it's all natural and, you know, comes from whatever, you know. And the reason why I bring it up is because it looks like I got invited to participate in one of these. Because
nice.
Made some Italian food, you see. And in the South, Italian food not always available. unless you pay an exorbitant price. You know, like there's a couple of good restaurants here and there, but they're always super expensive. You know what I mean? And they don't always have the best peasant food. Which is a term that comes from an Italian phrase that actually does mean it's the simpler food that are eaten by, you know, people that don't have much money. And believe it or not, that is most of what most Americans think of as Italian cuisine. The majority of Italian cuisine.
Pretty much. Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Well, they don't know. You know, they know about pizza, and pizza was actually just something that wouldn't go bad in a workman's lunchbox in New York, which is how pizza became popularized in America. That
right.
was really the truth of how pizza worked out. You know, the Italians would go there, share it with the other ethnics on the job, and they went, well, this is pretty good. And pizza became a thing, and now a lot of people think of, you know, pizza as about as American as apple pie or anything else, right?
Right.
But anyway, it was a peasant food actually accidentally invented to impress the new ruling party in Italy when artisans were creating stuff. A baker said, well, I need to put the colors of the flag together, you know, the green, white, and red flag. I need to put them together in an artisan way, and I'm a baker. The guy just threw together something that is now called a pizza. Like, that's how that was created. Okay. Anyway, and like I said,
Well, I'm a bread every day person, and sometimes it's a pizza, sometimes it's a focaccia, sometimes it has homemade duck egg roasted garlic aioli, mm-hmm. or cheese or onion or fresh tomato, which the tomatoes probably aren't going to last all that long, but yeah, I'm a big bread person, and Italian food has always been close to my heart.
Right.
In fact, it's a staple in my house. Which, like I said before, that's what kind of makes me, you know, we have like 100 in our town, right?
Right.
So for me to cook one meal for a couple in a city where people would be more likely to be using those apps, the driving alone and the time would, you know, so I have to cater to local people right now, unless it's on like a large scale.
Well, no, of course, but what I'm saying is it might be interesting for me, since I live in a smaller city, to see how this goes, and I want to introduce myself more to some of my neighbors, you know, so this is a way to go. And since ethnically I am Sicilian and Irish, they're going to get the Sicilian version of some Italian peasant food. This was because I made some ziti. Honestly, I made some ziti. And, gave it to, you know, cause I made a huge tray of this stuff, and I knew that we weren't going to be able to eat it all, cause the stuff I make, I mean, you know, it fills you. You get a little bit on a plate, you're good to go. So, I mean, very, very stacked. I mean, it's a full meal just in the ziti alone. So I gave it to them, and a little bit of bread, you know, which I prepared with some cheese and, some garlic and this and that. And I gave it to them, but I had to get French bread, because again, I don't know how to make my own bread. And honestly,
oh, you're gonna know though. I'm gonna walk you through it, and you're just gonna be like, I cannot even believe I put it off this long.
Okay.
Yeah, your life will change.
Awesome. Well, I want to be able to customize bread. See, I think, all right, the people in the Northeast
don't even think about customize right now. Just get one basic bread down. And then you go from there, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like weeds, studying weeds. Right. Start with three in your yard. You know those. Then you can move on to the other weeds, the other bread.
Right.
Right.
Right, right. No, I mean, look, I'm working on this stuff. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to use some borax on the yard, as you suggested, to hopefully decontaminate a spot on the yard, which I think is problematic right now. And is probably growing a bacteria that was bothering the puppies. So I'm just letting you know that that's part of what's going to go on. That's from a couple of weeks back when we were talking about managing your grass patch, pretty much. And Christy was talking about stuff that you could use outside. And borax is not only just recommended by Christy Aphrodite, but seemingly by anybody who has their head screwed on about this kind of stuff. You know, cause I went and I got many opinions about it. Apparently it's universal that, Christy is quite right. Even by, you know, standard cleanup people who do this kind of stuff. And apparently you'd have to pay them. And pretty much they said, well, all we're going to do is pretty much what, she told you to do. So it was like, okay.
Right.
You know, except that, you got to pay for their labor.
Chuck, you just jogged my memory. I was talking to myself in my head earlier today in the garden.
Okay.
And one of the things I was thinking about was how we as humans, for the most part, we don't do things because we feel like we don't know it, right? We have to hear 50 other people's opinions, or we have to know, like, I can't start a garden until I read 20 different books and I know it all and I understand it all. And I just want to let you know that you're never going to know it all. And we learn by doing it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously make sure that nobody says you're going to kill yourself, right? And always use everything sparingly and with respect and this and that. But all these things that people think that I know how to do, I mean, they're just deluding themselves. I'm learning and I know how to do a few things now, right? But all of this stuff I've done and started was literally like child's play and a dream and not knowing and then like picturing something in my mind and say, well, I wonder if I do this. And then I just did it. And I don't know why the borax made me think about it, probably because you said you heard it from like 50 other people, but we really need to stop acting like we have to know everything before we can start anything. Because look, I spent most of my life as a perfectionist and it is a terrible disease. Okay. It kept me from doing so many things, from say enjoying myself at a beach in a bathing suit, right, or just following my heart and, you know, because it's crazy or all of these other, and I don't know enough about it, or I can't start a food forest, right? Or right, I can't raise chickens, or I can't grow food. And you know what? I just want anyone, everyone who's listening at any given time to know you can do everything. Don't worry about having a degree, okay? Just get started. Take that step forward and look around. I'm telling you, look, I've only been here, what, maybe 2.5 years? Mm-hmm. And I'm looking around at all of these things, and some of it, like, if you were going to scrutinize it, you'd be like, that bed has like half concrete, half rock, and half wood as a barrier, right? But what you don't know is that I found what I found when I did and started building what little I did. So let's say I only had 5 rocks, or I only had 2 cinder blocks, or I had 6 logs. Like, it all of this at Ozarks Church of Nature and Magical Food Forest was put together piece by piece.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I know I'm preaching to the choir because, you know, you've put a lot of things together piece by piece, like this network, right? Spirit talks to me, you know, especially when I'm in my garden. So I think maybe it was important to put this encouragement out there. Stop waiting till you know everything. Get started now. Whatever it is that makes your heart sing and makes you feel good. And thank you. Sorry, I had to. It popped in my head.
No problem at all. But let me explain to you. I wasn't trying to, hear it 50 times. It just happened that that's the way it went because here is how this developed. Again, piece by piece and naturally. As you well know, we just had the, problem with the puppies, where they were dehydrating and they caught the dreaded parvo, which, usually kills, young dogs, and has killed, you know, 2 of mine, and these, little pups, which were only born on July 7, were probably all gonna die. So, you know, first thing I did, and I didn't like doing it, was, you know, went to the vet and, got the equipment and the things necessary. I mean, I'm sitting there giving IVs to 3-pound puppies, okay? Not an easy thing to do. So I'm doing that, and then I knew that I needed to clean up the yard because the bigger dogs go outside, even if the little ones don't, and they're going to carry in parvo. So I remember talking to you about this, and all I wanted to do is I knew what I was going to do already, but I said to myself, if I'm going to go out and do that, if there's something else I can do along with it, why not be efficient and do, if there's 2 good things to do, I'll do them. Yes, absolutely. I already got that rolling. And as soon as I got the money, I'll go get this and this and whatever. And, I'll borrow the tools or I'll buy the tools or whatever I need to do. But on top of it, I said to myself, but is there something else I can add? So I was trying to add to cover as much ground as possible to, make my labor count as best I could, right? Because if I'm going to go dig a hole once and I'm going to bury something in that hole, if there's 2 things I could have buried, then why not bury, you know, dig one hole, bury two things? So that's why I did that. And it kept coming up basically the same, that everybody had the same idea. This is what you can do. And also, you know, because I got a bad back and bad eyesight, I thought to myself, well, what would be the difference in having somebody do the labor? I found out tremendous amount of difference.
Isn't that amazing that something so simple can ease your life and your wallet and,
well, right,
you know, everything? So, yeah, I'm really proud of you for taking such initiative and just doing it and finding out. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Well, you see, I believe in preserving life whenever possible. So, you know, not only do I just love the hell, especially out of the one boy puppy in the group, Buster, which I don't know if you were on the Skype call last Friday when I showed everybody Buster real quick. But
Yes.
Okay, so you saw Buster.
I think, wait. No. I saw your cards.
Oh, right. No,
I didn't see Buster on Friday.
Right. We had a whole discussion about a poker game, which nobody has gotten back to me on, by the way. But everybody seems enthusiastic.
I'm totally in. I can't wait. I hope everyone else. I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. No, we can do this Friday night poker thing. I got to tell you, I've got a couple of regular and semi-regular guests that come on and co-host with the show that would also be interested. We haven't heard.
Well, I have some ideas I want to discuss with all of you off the air about that. Because I'm totally in. I've been thinking about it. I'm excited about it. And yeah, let's just keep our plans to take over the world private.
No, it's cool. And you know what? Even if it just boils down to a bunch of us having fun, what the hell? You know, I mean, that's fine too. I know we're supposed to be serious and get out good information, but you know what? But I always have stood by the idea that it's also good to entertain oneself and to be entertained and to enjoy some things too. You know, nothing wrong with having a good time. So anyway.
Chuck, I've been thinking myself, like, I've really been working too hard every literal day since I got here, but even before that, right?
Yeah.
And it's time for me to invite more fun in my life, and I was really focusing on that week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after the rush, of course, and
right.
So it was just perfect. Well, I love it.
You definitively need, a bit of a decompression activity, and I think sitting down and playing poker with a bunch of idiots and having fun at it.
I miss my old poker nights. I totally do. And seriously, it's perfect.
I mean, you're gonna play poker with a Southern former veteran, the blind hustler from Jersey. We got Mother Nature over there and the Ozarks. I mean, this will be quite the group. The slightly creepy, extremely deep-voiced buddy of ours out there on the left coast. I mean, it's going to be an interesting dynamic. I expect some name-calling. I expect a little bit of fun with whoever ends up.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
You know,
I can't wait.
I know it's going to be a good time. And we're going to let you guys in on it because it'll be like a live thing and we're going to do video. Anyway, enough of that. But back to the puppies. Buster is this cute, round-headed, funny-looking dog, you know, and we had to save his life. So now, after going through all that, now I know they should have an immunity to the parvo, and many pet owners have had to deal with various things, and apparently parvo was always included with the DTaP shots that you get from the vet, but many of us who believe in natural things don't like taking our pets or our animals to go to the vet to get these vaccines because, you know, if you think they don't test them that well on us, I mean, they did really well test the rabies vaccine. I got to give them that. There is actually good scientific long-term efficacy tests on rabies vaccine, Christy. I can't say that they didn't do that. But you know, a lot better than the stuff they usually give it, you know, for us. Especially after today when we were dealing with Biden now says, hey, you know, it's going to be yearly like a flu shot now. I mean, that's not so bad for your coronavirus, huh? Yeah. Anyway, I'm just saying, you know, a lot of us are resistant or don't necessarily go get our shots for our pets, right? So
I just want to say this, Chuck, since you brought it up, this is actually a topic that has come up around here recently. Mm-hmm. There is a clear difference in injected cats and not injected cats.
Of course there is.
And I'm talking in every way.
Yeah.
So just the same as I've seen with humans, yeah, and I adopted injected cats, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I'm seeing it.
No, I understand that. It's not, I'm just pointing out that generally speaking, I would not go to give these puppies, these dogs, any needles of any kind, okay? That is my attitude, my choice. But, you know, and some people, when I announced, you know, online and Kim announced online that, you know, our puppies had died. I mean, there were people that were pretty much like, well, you're an anti-vaccine jerk. It's probably you didn't get vaccines for them. That's why they're dead. You know.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, okay, I'm really not going to engage in this online debate about this, but that's not why they were dead. And even your vaccinated dogs. Which, by the way, we wouldn't have been able to vaccinate puppies that quickly anyway.
Right.
Because they tell you wait a little while.
Yeah, they suggest a wait, you know, a few months.
And these are smaller breed dogs also. So they're automatically, you know, I mean, the majority of their genetic makeup is Chihuahua. They're small dogs, okay? I know they look, you know, a little different than Chihuahuas, but one of the friend of my daughter got one of the five puppies, and she had a trusted friend at work that she wanted to gift one of the puppies to, so two puppies left out of the five, and she went and had a genetic test done on the one puppy, and it turns out, you know, the person who bred the mama dog didn't exactly tell us the truth about her genetic makeup. Whether they knew it or not, or they were trying to be deceptive, she's not actually a proper Chiweenie. But she is significantly Chihuahua, and she has a bunch of other stuff in her. So my little mini mutts, which, you know, have the most thing that is not just mutt mix in them, is Chihuahua, are small dogs, okay? Their systems are more delicate than, you know, say if I had a shepherd lab puppy or something, right? So I couldn't go get them injected, and I kept them alive by giving them, you know, basically by feeding them the sugar water bag that they would do if any human was dehydrated, same process.
Right.
Although I learned that sticking the puppies in the back of the neck was the better way, you know, in a person, we'd probably go through the arm or the leg, depending on their veins, and I know how to do that stuff, but, you know, kind of had a little crash course from the vet about best practices to do this, and then we did that. Every 6 hours, they had to get fluids, and we also gave them a couple other shots for nausea, and believe it or not, an antibiotic. Now, again, I would not necessarily always jump to this, but I was not, I did not want to. I already thought I was going to dig a hole for the runt of the litter because she just immediately shrank down to, you know, she should be 4 or 5 pounds. She was about 2 pounds. And I mean, she was just a little withered, shaking mess, that just had a look on her face. She just kept looking at me like, can you do something? But she couldn't eat, wouldn't drink, nothing. So this had to be done. Anyway, the whole reason I'm telling this story is because, first of all, I told you the dog survived on Friday, but this is the whole reason why I said if I can do more than just the cleanup that I got from Christy, which I tell you the truth, I had no idea what to do. The only time I've ever seen a patch of dirt cleaned up like this when there was a chemical spill on topsoil before, is to literally scoop out the topsoil up to a certain depth and move it elsewhere. That, like, that's the only way that I've ever seen this kind of thing dealt with before. Now, obviously, I don't have the money or resources to do something like that. Otherwise, to tell you the truth, I would have dug up the whole backyard and gotten rid of all the dirt on the top just to assure that this infection, this bacteria, this whatever, that the bigger dogs apparently were exposed to and were leaving in the yard, which wasn't affecting them, I clearly would have gotten rid of, you know, 10,000 pounds of dirt in order to make it better for the puppies, right? So that was the whole thing. I just wanted to protect them, and I am protecting them. So the thing is, we had just gotten them through by hand, three of them, like I say, every 6 hours with shots and, every 6 hours with the IV, and then every 12 hours with one shot, and every 24 with another one, you know, whatever. This is not an easy thing to do, injecting puppies, okay? And creating reservoirs of fluids under their skin so that you can easily inject some other stuff that burns a bit when it goes in. A lot of fun, okay? Sarcasm there, in case you don't know. You know, look, not the puppy's fault that they're crying and screaming about it at first. I mean, once they got right. their strength back, because, I mean, that little pathetic one that I told you shrank to 2 pounds, you know, yeah. I stuck her with a needle, accidentally pushed it, you know, because she kind of moved, pushed it through her skin, right? So imagine somebody stuck it in your arm, and then it went back out of your arm, okay? Not entirely wow. through the arm, but
yeah.
imagine that went and did that. Now, you'd probably yell, scream, get angry, say ouch, something. You know, the little girl that we call Honey did not even flinch. She just kind of, okay.
They are such badasses. Oh, my God.
Well, but this wasn't her being badass, Christy. I wish I could say that. this was her being too weak to cry about it. So
she knew you were helping her. Yeah. She, you know, they knew.
No, I got it. But she also, they didn't enjoy it. I mean, the biggest of the puppies is Buster. Again, he's a little bulky looking. He's a male. And he's kind of dopey, too. And he looks kind of dopey. It's funny. I'll show you him later if I can during the show. I'll see if I can get him on camera real fast and show him to you. But he was the one that actually squealed like a pig when we stuck him, even when it was done cleanly. You know, because he was terrified. And he's getting stuck in the back of the neck with a needle. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Anyway, the whole point is, again, that preventative measures to make sure that they would not be re-exposed to that or to something worse, okay? I thought to myself, whatever I got to do to the soil, I'm going to do that. The only thing I didn't want to disturb are the puppies I already buried, because Lucy's first litter, 3 out of the 4 puppies died, were dead on delivery. And then, of course, the father of the dogs passed away shortly thereafter, little Napoleon, and my little buddy, after only living a few months, Bonnie. Listen, I had to dig 3 holes. The little pups, the little mini, tiny hamster-sized puppies that were born dead in one hole, Bonnie got a hole, and Napoleon got a hole. So I'm going to tell you something. I did not want to dig any more goddamn holes.
Right. Okay?
And not because I'm lazy or anything. It's just that it's hard to dig a hole when, and I'll tell you the truth, people that were supposed to be, you know, in my life, in my daily life, that were connected to me, I don't think I would have had as big a problem digging a hole for some of them. In the past, I cried less over people than I did over little Bonnie. Okay? Just saying. And so I didn't want to do it again. And you heard Kim say it, you know, my soul couldn't handle, you know, watching these little pups die. So we had to do what we could. But anyway, in the aftermath of that, you also have to manage the land and what they're exposed to and consider their diet. Oh, wait a minute. This sounds familiar, doesn't it? You got to consider the diet. You got to consider the water. You got to make it as best you can. Now, I know not everything is 100%, you know, clean and perfect and all that. But you can go a long, long way to making it a hell of a lot better if you don't buy the dog's prepackaged food, if you don't give them a lot of unnecessary chemicals, if you hand make a lot of the stuff that they are going to consume or expose themselves to, if you wash them in the proper thing. I did mention the water, right? If you take care of the environment they're in or the natural elements that they're being exposed to, all of these things can have a significant impact on their health. You know why? Because they're a living creature, and so are you. Not you, Christy, but of course you're a living creature.
I'm not a living creature. Is that what you're saying?
No, you're part of the undead, just like me.
You know, we could also supplement, right? And so I don't know if y'all know how much it costs to feed 40 animals.
It depends on what type of animal they are.
So I can't always get the best of the best, right? Like when I had one cat, okay, it was raw salmon whole, you know, and I could do that. And then, you know, so we all can supplement even if we can't afford, say, a raw meat diet or some of these more expensive brands, right?
Right.
And some of the ways to supplement aren't just through including DE or oregano or chamomile, dandelion, rosemary, etc., but also through, if you know, say, people who grow or butcher or fish or whatever. You, in fact, I just recently packed like 30 quarts of fish food, basically. And it was all free because I had expressed to them how much I would appreciate their guts, right? And when they hunted deer, I'll get some more guts there and can turn that into stuff, right?
This was the buckets of fish guts you had delivered, right?
Oh man, 5 buckets.
Cool.
And just when I thought it was over and I didn't have to smell fish anymore, there was more.
Well, you know, listen, when you ask people for their fish guts,
when you have to make hay when the sun's shining, right?
Right.
And I don't get that much free food that often, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, but you know, just tell people that do that stuff that you'd like their extra guts or their, you know, if you know hunters or whatever.
Right. So anyway,
that's just one, you know, a few different ways that we can supplement their diets, especially with these high, you know, I don't really know anyone that gives their babies the perfect diet anymore. It's kind of hard. I'm fermenting and buying whole grains, like making and cutting their food, but I can't afford raw meat for all of my carnivores, you know?
You know, if you can't necessarily afford to feed yourself and your family the best of the best, I mean, your family, guess what, includes your animals too. So it is what it is, but you gotta do better than just, well, there's the cheapest crap on the shelf that says it's dog food or says it's cat food or whatever.
Right. So they get supplemented with the herbs that are growing or leftover food or essential oils or, you know, like I said, diatomaceous earth, which is dirt cheap, literally. And I'll tell you what, I haven't had one illness problem with any of these animals. No worms. There was a worm one time in one cat, and then I just like double dosed the DE and wormwood, and then that's it. So.
Right. No, and I know, I absolutely agree, and that's the thing. So the whole reason why I went into this long belabored story is just to say that even this kind of thing, if you do this with respect and with a sense of reaching for better, cleaner, whatever, I mean, literally, they gave these puppies, you know, the vet basically said 75% chance, the majority of them will not make it. And quite frankly, your best bet right now is only at about a 50-50, right, on three puppies, which means, you know, one puppy should have died for sure, and possibly two, if not all three of them. And I turned that around, so I didn't want that work to be in vain. I beat those odds.
I'm so glad you were able to do that, Chuck. I love this.
Right. So, I mean, but I'm just saying, and what it is that it metaphorically shows you also that even when the determination by the alleged medical professionals is you're screwed, maybe not, okay? There
right,
is a way
like
to
with
fight.
Letters and the goat and the dog and Jupiter. Yeah, keep trying. You don't have to give up. In fact, I recently, so I saw a friend of mine, their friend's cat was shot. And when they found it, they were basically encouraged to, you know, euthanize.
Right.
And that's what they thought they were going to do. And then they had a change of heart and decided to just see what nature and stuff would do. And they're raising their, you know, special needs kitty. And I think it's beautiful. So.
Right. Now, I will say.
Yeah. Now, we don't ever have to give up in anything.
No, we don't have to give up. I will say, though, that I also respect the decision, whether it is a person or other creature. You know, that sometimes it may be that the suffering is too great, that may result in a loss anyway. You've got to be able to determine these things, and you've also got to be able to be realistic about how much work you're going to be able to put into it, about exactly what the, you know, the all of it must be weighed properly here, you know. And I'm not saying that just automatically surrender when it looks grim, obviously, because I didn't, did I? I was told 75%. I mean, that's a pretty harsh bet there, okay?
Yeah, but that means there's a 25% chance. And,
right.
You know, like I said, some of those names, all of those names but one were supposed to die.
Right.
So, according to them, right?
Right.
And when I brought Butters back, they're like, oh, it's a miracle. I'm like, yeah, uh-huh. You know, I wasn't going to get into it because...
Oh, no, our vet, when we reported back, because we did actually require a little more equipment, and I didn't want to go to the trouble of dealing with Junkie Alley, basically. Look, here's the bottom line. I know I could go and acquire syringes and stick pins on the street, right? Certainly there are people that sell them for different reasons. I mean, a lot of times, look, diabetics.
For a feed store, Chuck. Just go to a feed store. Yeah, Tractor Supply.
But see, now look, I didn't discover the feed store quickly enough because not everything here has an immediate feed store. Like, it doesn't say feed store on it, some of these things. It turns out that there are a couple of supply stores that are also feed stores. And they don't appear to be, like, you know, specifically designed for farmers or anything. And yet, that is part of what they do. Now, I discovered that afterwards. So the idea is I needed to be able to have a delivery system that was going to be, you know, a needle and a tube, okay? And I wanted that stuff to be workable. So honestly, yeah, I could probably go and find a diabetic who usually sells their stuff to junkies. And, you know, and buy myself a box of this. I mean, this is the truth, right?
This, I have missed out on so much in this world. It's hilarious.
Well, but this is the real world. For some diabetics, old school diabetics who actually draw up their own insulin, okay, they can sometimes acquire more needles than they need. So, you know, everybody's struggling. If they can make their money by selling a perfectly good factory sealed, right, clean needle to somebody, in a way they're kind of doing a public service because people are not sharing dirty needles that are going to shoot up anyway, and they're able to make a little money because maybe their copay was whatever, and they're able to pay their copay by selling off a small amount of some of the stuff they're not going to use. I'm not saying, you know, there's not ethical considerations here, but among the ethical considerations,
hey,
of one,
I'm not against it, man. I know someone that used to do pills and then they quit, but they held on to him, like, just in case.
Right.
And, I mean, I'm like, you know what? There's people that want that. So I'm not against people having what they want.
Look,
I want everyone to have what they want. I just also want them to be responsible for their choices, too.
Yeah, but that's the
not
thing.
Not me, you know. That's all.
But that's the thing. I don't really care that the diabetic is selling off, you know, maybe to pay for their freaking insulin.
I don't.
You know what I mean? Like, look, and some people do actually require insulin, okay? I know that, you know, a lot of diabetic circumstances can be reversed and whatever, but not everybody can necessarily do that right away or has the wherewithal to figure it out. And for some people, it's life and death whether they have that insulin.
But we could, though, right?
We could.
I figured it out before the internet.
Well, yeah, we could. But
so we could.
But
if
you
we
have,
really wanted to.
But somebody who is in a diabetic circumstance, I would advise extreme caution and to be very sure about what it is you're doing because it's very dangerous. If the insulin, even though it's crap and a lot of it turns out to over time be bad for you and whatever else, it is literally sustaining you at the moment. So, you know, the people that want to throw away their insulin, yeah, do that, but take your time and make sure that you've got all your bases covered. And as per usual, try not to shock your system, which is already challenged. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Is it possible to get around it? Sure. So in the meantime,
I'd also like to add this.
Yeah.
Before researching how to get off it, research what it's doing to you.
No. All of these things must be done. But you would never advise somebody, listen, just throw away your insulin and we'll work on it. No.
No. And everybody's unique and different.
Everybody's different.
Yeah, I mean, really, the first thing I want everyone to do when they talk to me, or even if you're listening now, read about what you're taking, the side effects, this and that. And I'll tell you, I have not met one single person who has come to me who has expressed a symptom that was not being caused by their treatment. So that should be the first thing everyone does with self-responsibility. Now, if you choose to take it or not, that's great.
Right.
You know, that's your choice,
right.
But we need to research what they are before we're trying to figure out should we get off them or what herb do we take, you know what I mean?
Well, that's why.
And in many cases, that's enough motivation right there when you finally know.
Well, that's why we talked about, you know, the first thing to do, whether it's your first aid kit or it's figuring out how to address an issue or whatever else. What did we say when we first started this series? And I said, Christy, what is the first thing we should always do? And that was evaluation. And the evaluation
what
is coming into my body? What is it doing? How are those things interacting with each other? And that includes your food and your medicine and everything else. Take a look at what's coming in alongside what the symptoms are, the undesirable results you're getting. Okay? Look at those two things first. Because you have to know what it is you're working with, and this is what you're working with. You know, lying to yourself about, I only drink, you know, a little bit of coffee a day, and, you know, you're on your 12th cup. Well, look, in some cases that could be good, but in other cases maybe not. It depends. Everybody's different. First, you got to be honest about it and put it all together and evaluate
right.
the circumstance as it is. So that's why I'm saying that, you know, eventually, yeah, probably everybody could get off insulin, but you and I both know that insulin is, you know, kind of necessary.
You know, it
considering
depends, though. I wouldn't say everybody because if, let's say, you've been on it for 30 years. Now, what people don't understand about it, it basically builds new storage units
right.
within your pancreas to inject the insulin, thereby thwarting the desire for your own body to produce it, right?
So the way that you're,
instead of your just having one storage unit full, then you end up with multiple storage, it's
right.
just, I'm trying to draw a picture
no, I got
of
you.
What's actually happened. So there, there probably is a point in time where people are completely dependent upon that because their body just won't produce anymore, right?
Well, here's a simple way to look at it, is that it's not just your pancreas, but your liver and a few other parts and organs in your system are now accustomed to a certain level of chemical, a certain amount of XYZ, and they have changed their behavior. What happens in your body when you get it accustomed to something, right? It adjusts itself so that it tries to accommodate what's going on.
Right. So, and it's a system.
Yeah.
So you can't just add one brick at the bottom of the foundation of your home, you know, in one spot, without it affecting the whole thing.
Right. It's literally like going, well, let me put a cup, you know, my house is kind of sinking on the one corner. Let me just stick some plywood under the foundation. You know, it's not going to work out.
Which I actually considered doing this week. That's so funny.
But the funny thing is,
plywood I thought would be perfect.
Yeah, but the funny thing is that, you know, there's probably a bunch of things that you need to consider.
Like exactly, because you have the main sewer pipe, you know, hanging from it. You have doors, you have two levels. Right?
Plus,
so yeah, that's why I use the foundation analogy, because you really can't, even one hair, even speaking of hair, half the width of your hair, inflammation in your brain can cause like disastrous consequences.
So the thing is, I mean, what do you have to consider? Well, people go, well, you got to consider the way the foundation is and what's but you also got to consider what materials you're putting in, how the environment's going to handle
them. You can't mess with one thing and not affect it to affect the entire system, right? You can't be just like, oh, well, I'm just affecting my kidney with this beverage. Well,
back to the building materials. Okay, in certain parts of the country, guess what? You know, a wooden building material will not do as well when you bury it in the ground, right? A brick, certain types of bricks, certain types of clay, if they're more, you know, normal to a particular area, they will often be better off if you use those. Maybe you need to pour cement. Maybe you need to simply move the house or change the dirt that's under it. You don't know.
Right. That's the only way here in the Ozarks. It's all limestone, clay, rock. I mean, it's the only way.
Right. So what somebody would have to do probably is do a little bit of fill to stop the sinking of a house if you have one corner of the house kind of sinking. They'd probably have to figure out a way to create a backfill so that it stops at a certain point and all that. And I'm not saying that I know how this works. I'm just saying that I know how it has failed in the past. And, you know, and I've also seen people turn around and literally strip all kinds of things away on houses that are, say, near the ocean because certain building materials, believe it or not, the types of nails you use, could be affected if you're near the ocean. All right, so, I mean, the smallest thing, like you were talking about with the hair and the brain, you know, something that is that, you know, that has a circumference of a hair, changing in your brain could create a disastrous result. Well, it's the little things sometimes, and that's why a full spectrum analysis of what's going on before you make any drastic moves, okay, that could also be seemingly a small move, is just, you gotta be well educated. The first thing to arm yourself with is knowledge. And the first thing to pack into whatever box it is, whether it's your medical kit, your first aid standby, or your treatment plan for an issue, the very first thing that you must arm yourself with is knowledge. And part of that knowledge is the evaluation and properly understanding what's going in, what's coming out, how it's working, and what is being affected by all of that. So, with insulin, like I said, there are people out there that, you know, have become dependent on it, are dependent on it, whatever. That is their current circumstance, and they might be able to buy 100 needles in a month, and maybe they only actually need 50. So when it comes time to try and pay some of those bills, and again, not every insulin is covered by insurance, or maybe somebody doesn't have insurance, or the state's willing to pay for the crappy stuff that maybe doesn't work so well, but if you kick in some more money, We'll give you the stuff that works a little better and doesn't make it hurt when you pee. And so people will turn around. I mean, and that, I literally, I'm not making that up. I knew somebody that literally was like, yeah, for $150 more at the pharmacy, I can inject myself with this, and it happened to be a diabetic, and then it doesn't burn when I pee, and I don't get, it was a woman who was getting, you know, urinary tract infections constantly, which is, you know, one of the apparent side effects from the other alternative that the Medicare, Medicaid, whatever it was, state-involved health insurance was willing to pay for the stuff that burned when she peed, but would not pay for right. the one that cost, you know, X amount of dollars more. So she had to call
up. And then
up.
They just go treating symptoms of the next drug and then another, because it's guaranteed money for the system and
right.
destroying these people's lives when really they could be teaching them how to just not have a UTI to begin with.
Yeah, that would be nice. But I mean, in the short term, somebody says, well, if I got a raise, $200 more to not have it burn when I pee this month, I might be willing to sell half of the needles that I, if I'm real careful, I don't necessarily need to use them all. So, you know, and a junkie does want a clean
or
needle.
Or you could go to My True Essence and spend $20 and have enough medicine to not have it burn when you pee for at least 6 months.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, if you're on a medication that's making it burn when you pee, it you know, consistently, might not be the best thing. So, before you get there, though, you
there's
might need
multiple
to,
herbs. Yeah. Like, not all have contraindications. In fact, the ones that I like to talk about most commonly, which of course are the overlooked ones that almost everybody already has in their kitchen, they have no known interactions with any meds, right? Like oregano, basil, rosemary, thyme, holy basil, dandelions, you know, so.
No, I understand all that.
And you don't have to fear herbs, right? We don't have to fear any of it.
One of these nights, and we've already killed an hour, by the way, but one of these nights, I actually want to talk to you about my allergy to coconut because, frankly, I came across that when I was studying a few things about my own current health situation. And sadly, a bunch of roadblocks came up for me where it's like, well, if you just use coconut oil and I can't consume it, it makes me ill. So one of these nights we're going to have to talk about that. And I'll talk to you about how that came about and everything. Maybe we could come up with something here, but coconut oil apparently.
Tell me now. I want to hear.
Well, no, because I'm going to take a break. So,
okay.
So,
all
no,
right.
I'm not going to tell you right now, but one of these
I want to hear your coconut oil story.
Well, there's not much of a story to it. It's not that interesting. That's why I'm trying to skip it for right now. But when it's appropriate, I do want to talk to you about it, because it's coming up in weight loss. It's coming up, with, what this one, person is calling caloric bypass, which I like the concept that they've come up with. When it comes to, and it's not like I'm obsessed with weight loss or something and I'm not, you know, a gigantic fat pig, but I mean, I've got some extra weight on me and I wasn't specifically looking for weight loss. But you know, there were multiple benefits listed over and over again. And I've heard this so many times with coconut and coconut oil, as, you know, as something that works along with, as something that is part of this, part of that. You know, I love olive oil and, I think I might have to leave planet Earth if I became allergic to olive oil. But, I mean, cause I don't think I could stand it. And olive oil has done me a lot of good, but coconut is extremely good for people. There's actually a whole island of, people, and I forget the name of it. It's like one of those, you know, very native-ish island sounding names. And it's off the coast of Australia, where basically there's no modern medicine, there's no modern food, right? And most of the people there live typically to be about 100 years old. Their skin, even though they're constantly exposed to the sun, you know how people say, oh, it's your exposure to the sun all day. These people are in the sun all day long. Their skin is like tight, healthy, and everything else.
Right.
And they were boiling it down to a couple of things that is insanely, seriously taking up a lot of their diet. And one of the things was, ready, coconut oil, coconut milk that they have locally. And apparently it's doing all these different things for these people. And they live longer, healthier, and stronger. I mean, a whole lot of the aging process doesn't even seem to bother them. Like 90-year-olds among these people, you know, a good-looking 50-year-old in the U.S. probably has the skin tone tightness, freedom of movement, right, as somebody who's like 90 there.
Almost every culture is, I mean, I think probably every culture is healthier than us. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm going to take a break now.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, by author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War, by author Mike Swanson.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're tuned into the Ocelli Effect.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
And we're back on Ocelli.com live, the Ocelli Effect, happening on a Tuesday, that is, just, well, let's see, about 20 minutes after the hour, 9 p.m. Eastern time, but that doesn't matter to you if you're hearing us on the podcast further on down the stream by your Fondle Slab of Choice, your applicable application, or your podcatcher du jour. You don't care what time it is, it's just that the show is about half over. Anyway, we are taking calls at 319-527-5016. Did I just get that number right or wrong? 319-527-5016. I say it so often, I'm actually not sure when I've got it right. Oh, and I left my camera on. I put my camera on during the break, actually to show Christy, Buster. But anyways, 319-527-5016. That is the number to call to join in. And we do have a caller on the line. So Christy, should we get right to the caller now or what?
Absolutely.
All right. Sorry for making you wait a little bit, but you did catch me before the break and I wasn't watching the phone lines. You're now live and on the air with Christy Aphrodite. How you doing? Who are you and what's up?
Hi, Chuck. My name's Kevin. Hi, Christy.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, is this the Kevin?
All right. Yeah, Kevin. I called one other time, probably a few months ago now, and that show eventually devolved into like sex talk and poop jokes.
Oh, right.
So here we go.
Is that your plan for this evening,
one reason,
sir?
I called it.
Yes. Is that your plan for this evening? I'm sorry. Is that your plan for this evening, sir? Is that what you intend to do? Okay. No, I was just checking. It's cool.
No, considering you guys were talking about foot worship porn a couple weeks ago, so I don't think I can do worse than that.
Right? All right. Were there any offers? Were there any offers, Christy, for anybody to manage the images of your feet? Did that come to you yet?
Nobody is interested in my petite, beat up Fred Flintstone walking shit all day feet.
I'm sorry.
Not one single taker. I thought that we'd like put it out there and I'd have all these pimps saying like, here you go so you can buy all those towers and
listen, I promise you
communities, but
well,
nope.
I promise you there are customers for it, and believe it or not, if somebody wanted to take up that, I mean, we won't even reveal who you are on the air or anything if you're embarrassed by it. You just happen to know the wonderful world of foot porn. No problem. We'll gladly work with you on this. Because now, why?
Yeah,
am I
you don't have to identify yourself. Yeah. Just pimp my feet.
Why am I saying we? Because Christy automatically agreed to cut me in. So I mean, that's the only. Listen, if somebody wants to buy pictures of my feet, no problem. Just tell me how you want them taken.
But maybe you missed your calling. Maybe you're supposed to be my pimp.
No, I could never
my
be
feet's pimp.
No, see, no, I couldn't get into pimping even when the money was right in front of me and it was a possibility. I couldn't
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, but it's in your blood. You just have to try a different avenue.
Well, all right, look, yeah. I'll consider
you're
that.
You're from
but
Jersey. You're from Jersey.
I know.
It's one of your latent talents, you know? You got to just tap into it. Just tap-a-roo.
Nah, my dad was much more of a pimp than I could ever imagine myself to be. So he was like that. You know, because you got to know how to control a bitch's mind. That's a quote from the Boondocks, in case somebody doesn't know. Where Cat Williams came in and did the A Pimp Named Slickback routine. But anyway, the point is that if somebody wanted to get involved in that, I got to tell you, I think Christy would be interested in putting that money, the profits made from it, and I would put my cut into those broadcast towers or what I was discussing.
Without a doubt.
Or what I was discussing with Aaron on Sunday, which is, you know what, if you guys really legitimately wanted to get Christy Aphrodite's reach out onto AM and FM, it is possible if you wanted to sponsor it. So if you have a business or something like that and you wanted to get Christy on even just the Tuesday Ocelli Effects, we could have them either broadcast live or rebroadcast later in the week on AM and FM radio stations at some fairly affordable rates. Contact me and tell me what area you want to go into. I'll do the research and the work. If you want to put up the cash, I will make it dash, okay? Just that simple. So, you know, I can pimp some things. I'm just not good at pimping women.
No pimp O in the house.
You know, in back in the days when I was a kid, you know, it was like, hey, there's Chuck D and there's Chuck this and Chuck that. Who the hell are you? I'd be like, I'm Chuck O. Like, Chuck O, shit, that just happened. That's who I am. But we'll make it all happen this way. Actually, well, the real quote, the thing I actually used to say on the street, you know, remember the environment I grew up in, is, you know, people would make fun of me, you know, what are you up, Chuck? Are you Chuck Wagon? I mean, I heard of Chuck D, and my actual response was, no, I'm Chuck O. And that's Chuck O, I just knocked the bottom out your bitch. That's who I am. Anyway, that was back in the days when a bit of that, I don't know, toxic masculinity was a value and definitely was worthy of use on the street. But I digress way too much. Kevin is on the line with
bring
us.
Bring back toxic masculinity. Oh, wait, sorry.
Well, not yet.
That's correct.
Give it a couple weeks. It's okay. We understand. but Kevin brings up some interesting stuff. I'm telling you right now, if somebody wants to have Christy heard live on an AM and FM, I will even do my level best to see if we could keep it nice and clean according to FCC standards. But then again, the whole thing we talked about a few weeks before that about erecting your own tower, which does not require FCC regulation, it's a real thing. A couple of people got back to me and told me they did the research. They don't have the $1,000 right now, but I have a couple of people saying to me that when they get their tax returns, they're going to seriously look into it. So love to see what it is you want to do, guys. Let's make it happen. Let's go a different way. And maybe we got
to. It's going to be a great year, Chuck. We're going to. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to keep thinking positive. And I know that as long as we keep following our heart, that a way will be provided.
Exactly. So maybe it's a 2023 way to go. Maybe this is right. Our year to actually emerge and become the new subversive underground element that's not underground because we're broadcast on live air one way or another. And you, the listener right now, could be part of that. So, like I said, all those things are out there. We're not just talking about playing poker. Let's talk about poking the eyes out of the multi-eyed monster. So let's do it. Anyway, enough out of me. Kevin, we're not going into pimping. We're not going to go into all that. But you gave me a good segue for all those things. So what is on your mind tonight, sir? What should we discuss?
Well, I also know that you were discussing XM radio only because you're having, I don't know if you guys are aware, but I'm on the phone, so I'm not looking at the chat or anything, but you've been having some technical difficulties where it's doing that shift thing back to old shows where you were talking right. to Aaron, is it, about XM radio. So
right.
just letting you know, I wanted to call in and say, hey, you guys are having some technical issues.
Yeah, no, you're among probably 20 people that messaged me already about it. And okay. I've done my best to straighten it out, honestly. Sometimes these things just happen, and quite frankly, they're difficult to diagnose. There are upgrades that I could do in my equipment and, digital access and things like that, but, all that costs money, and quite frankly, I've had a decrease in support recently. So upgrading is not an immediate option for me on anything right this minute. But more than happy to upgrade stuff if people want to kick in. Just saying. But no, I didn't.
It wasn't a criticism. It's been acceptable. I mean, it's listenable for sure. But the real reason I'm calling is I want a seat at the poker table, man.
Oh, you want to play? You want to play poker with us on Fridays? Cool. Excellent. We may have to come up, you know, if there's enough people that are real serious, Christy, there may have to be like a rotating guest chair or two, because we can't run
right.
a massive game. But like, say, 1 week we have, say, Mike Swanson, who is an avid poker player and is constant, my longest standing co-host, who's on with me on Thursdays most of the time. He actually goes to Vegas and other casinos and plays in the big poker tournaments. He loves to play, so I'm sure I can get him involved. Our friend Vance, which was known as Vanarchy, and was doing a lot of the, quite honestly, the anarchy education that we were doing there as a series for a while. Vance is a poker player who goes to a bar every Thursday or Friday to play poker. So there's two guys that I know would be more than happy to sit around a virtual poker table with us, that I can think of from my side of the world. And then maybe we got Kevin, we had Nature Boy, B. Pete, you, I'm sure there's going to be weeks when you can't make it. Perhaps Kevin could be your substitute on those weeks or something. I could name a substitute. I don't know. We could do this all different ways. But if you definitely want to be in, Kevin, we'll definitely add you to the mix as far as I'm concerned. What do you think, Christy?
Absolutely. I think there is so much potential, but yeah, we'll totally talk about it off the air.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We're going to talk about the developing idea more off the air now, because Christy states that, and I believe her, that somebody will steal our ideas if we come up with something really unique, which is possible here.
It's just, I'm really learning. So I used to get excited about things and then go tell everyone. And now I just work in silent, and then people get to see the end result. But back when I was excited and telling everyone about it or this or that, there's a lot of energy exchanges going on that aren't, you know, people, not everybody wishes you well on your road to success or following your heart or coming up with anything that's outside of their realm of understanding. And people, you know, we've kind of talked about energy vampires, black magic, stuff like that before, but I'm really learning that it's just keep your plans to yourself and who you're making them with, and present it, and just, like, go with it. Because, yeah, not everybody wishes you well.
You know. No, that's for sure. And the other thing is that some people who might be a bit more financially set might be more capable of capitalizing on certain elements that we might be able to put together.
And, I really do think there's potential, and I actually think there's, yeah. Anyways, I'm not even going to say what I think, because I'm just going to save it for the people that are putting their energy into it and creating it. and let's just see, you know, more brains put together and, you know, in our comfortable sphere, I think we're going to be able to put something together really great. Mm.
And in that group chat, I say we propose a meeting for an upcoming Saturday, maybe during the day or something really quick. You can take a break from your duties for, you know, maybe a half hour or something, and we could sort a few things out. Because I really am serious. I want to get this rolling. I mean, a lot of ideas get brought up, and then they sort of fizzle out because everybody's enthusiastic in the moment. But you know how it goes. I mean, whether it's, I want to do a show, Chuck, I got a million ideas, and then it turns out they don't, and they don't have the dedication to show up, or they discover they can just live stream on YouTube, and then, you know, things go wrong with that, and then maybe they figure out that there's little value in the time that I put into something. I'm just saying there are various things that go on. So anyway, anything else on your mind though, Kevin? You're in as far as the mix with the poker, but is there something else you want to talk about? Anything health related or nature related?
I could get all apocalyptic and Armageddon-ish if you like. I don't.
Well, it's not.
Go for it.
It's not up to me. It's up to you. So here we are. We're the platform. Your voice counts.
Well, rather than me going a rant, I feel like there's a perfect storm happening, and we're like existing in a tinderbox at this point. But rather than me going a rant about all of the different issues that I think are leading to a perfect storm, I would like to ask you guys, challenge you guys, because you know you guys are the good minds here. Tell me something about our society that's not apocalyptic or that's positive that we can latch on to, and you know, that's my challenge to you guys right now.
You're definitely first, Chuck.
Well, look, a very easy thing. No problem. You know what's funny, Kevin, is no matter what you bring up, I will always find a way to answer it or to participate in a discussion. It's like the only thing that I really feel as though I have a serious talent for. I will say this. We as a collective, as an entity, the United States has not started a new war recently. We haven't started any new wars. We haven't seemed to have gone out of our way to invade and become a mass casualty shooter in a foreign nation recently.
No, we've been doing it secretly and inflaming.
Yeah, but that's always happening. Listen, that's like telling me the sun came up. I mean, it's a constant event. What I'm saying is that we haven't significantly created a plan to double and triple feed the pig trough at the military industrial complex via destroying an entire society all on our own because of some false justification recently. We haven't done that. There's a positive. There hasn't been a new brand new.
You're correct.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm reaching. I know I'm reaching, but there's that. And also,
I think we just gave $28 billion to the Ukraine, right?
Yeah, but again, if you consider.
You
consider the amount of money we're giving to the Israeli genocide. That's not so bad. Look, again, I'm looking for the apple in the crap pile, right? So what else is happening? Well, monkeypox didn't take hold, did it? Remember the fear of monkeypox? Well, it ends up in the same pile as Zika, doesn't it? The fear porn that didn't quite catch fire. So we don't have a new either imagined or because you said apocalyptic stuff. What is not apocalyptic? Well, we don't have a brand new plague that was going to sweep next, you know, along with the coronavirus, which may or may not be happening, depending on which handler allows Joe to answer the question. Although he's saying, you know, get your corona shot like a flu shot now once a year, but other than that, we didn't get the new monkeypox, and people had about a week's worth of, hey, Chuck, maybe Ebola's coming back, and I went, no, it's not. They're not able currently to sell us a new plague. So there's two things off of the pile for Apocalyptica, right? We don't have a brand new plague. I mean, we have the same old ones, but we don't have a brand new one. We don't have the one that they were trying to set up being sold. It obviously failed as a marketing ploy. They have the new "We'll shame you if you don't vote," by the way, thing happening, and nobody's paying attention to that. In Georgia here, they're running commercials telling you that, you know, it's public record as to whether you voted or not. Your friends and neighbors will be aware if you didn't do your civic duty. And I'm like, huh, that's interesting. I've never seen that before. That's new, but it tells me that they're reaching for stuff. They don't have a perfect right-off-the-shelf plan to whip everybody up into the, you know, pre-apocalyptic hysteria that they try and maintain oh so well. We don't have a brand new terrorist element. I mean, they're still working on the domestic thing, and I guess all those Islamo-fascists that everybody was paranoid about disappeared, but, you know, we don't have that. So we don't have intense rumors of new wars. We don't have intense new wars. We have the same old standard proxy war situation, and of course Ukraine is part of it, but again, it's a little nuanced. It's not just the straight up, we're going there to steal their resources and we're going to destroy an entire culture, and even though it's racism, we're going to act like we're not racist about it, even though it's okay to destroy those people, because, you know, we can go into a place like Iraq and act like we are a school shooter. If the school was called Baghdad, we can do that, but we're not right now. So the whip up to the apocalypse might be at a slower pace than it would be, according to the liking of most of the owners and controllers. That's the best answer I have for what is not apocalyptic at the moment. Best I could do there, Kevin. What do you think?
Nice. Yeah, so some thin straws pulled there, I guess.
Yeah, you said there's no rumors. You scrambling, Chuck. All right. So,
and you said no rumors of war. But didn't they just give millions of dollars to pharmaceutical companies to buy us drugs to protect us from nuclear war? That's kind of a rumor of war, I think.
Well, yeah, but, you know, look, they lost the thread when it came to really pushing everybody must be vaccinated. So they've already milked that cow. And of course there's a way to milk the nuclear war fear cow. So they're going to do it. Yeah. But again, it's not intensified. It's not uniform. I mean, think about that push on the COVID, on the Rona. That was universal. I mean, it didn't matter what network you turned to. It didn't matter what media you went to. It didn't matter if you were watching wrestling or if you were listening to, some guy with I'm the rock and roll guy over here in whatever city you're listening to. Now we're going to listen to AC/DC and don't forget to get vaccinated. You know, we're not being inundated with one thing universally at the moment. And indeed, even the ridiculousness of the selections that are coming up, which are only what? A week and a half away, right? I mean, that's when they conclude. They're not even doing that well with intensifying fear, paranoia, and all that. They're trying, but I don't know. I think there might be some fatigue. They need to reinvent the fear porn if they're going to get us to that, again, pre-apocalyptic mindset that, again, is profitable and greatly allows those that wish to keep us occupied to continue to thrive by control, right? So I think their programs, their propaganda is just not working as well. Is there rumors of war? Sure. Is there conflict? Is there killing? Is there actual hot stuff going on? You can ask people in Ukraine. There's actually a real thing there. You know, it's not just does Ukraine exist or not. There is something happening. But is it the thing? Is it like, oh, no, the world might end? Maybe a hint of it with the fear of the atomic tide. But I don't know. It's just not taking hold. So it seems to me like the frenzy has not been fully encouraged. They may be trying to chum the waters, but the sharks are not coming, at least not in mass yet. Now, I'm not saying they don't have a program ready to roll after Selection Day, because I have a feeling that come 2023, those things that have not been successful, they might double down on them. So we'll have to see. But, You know, and you got to get ready for the run-up for 2 years from now when we have the alleged big event when, you know, somebody else gets to be selected for the White House, right? So, you know, stay tuned because there's plenty of fear porn to be manufactured and made, and somebody will buy it. Anyway, that's my total answer, Kevin. I know I was grasping at some thin straws, but look what I got to work with, man. I mean, what do you want me to do?
I think that's cute. You're so optimistic.
Trying.
Okay. So, I do have good news, right? But I'm not going to deny. I definitely agree more with the Tinder, just waiting for the right spark. And I am not, I'm speaking what I feel. I feel that it's pretty much the what's that called when you go to a play, the before act or something, or it's like the prologue.
The prologue.
So the beginning to the end, and I don't mean the end. Nothing's ever going to end, right? But some things and institutions and people and stuff, you know, will, right? It's life, death, life. It's, so I am feeling, yeah, the violence and the rage and, but okay, so this is not total, and whatever happens, it's not going to be all at once or all at the same time, and I'm definitely not falling for any of those, you know, bull crap stuff. But I'm also not going to deny how I feel based on my own real life experience. And what's interesting to me is I don't get out that often, but I'm seeing the same things increasingly each time to make it more than just a coincidence, like things I used to never see. So here's the good news though, and this is what I focus on, and this is actually what exists in my life. Mm-hmm. The good news is I have never seen more people care about taking more responsibility for themselves, for feeding themselves, for following their heart and getting started on new projects or losing inhibitions and, you know, getting known for their weirdness or, you know, not hiding it, right? Speaking their truth more often, people moving, just saying enough is enough or quitting their jobs, things like that. So I think that is super positive. I mean, look, even you, Chuck, in our shows, like how many new things have you been doing, whether it's taking care of your animals and now cooking for other people and growing a garden and preparing soil and, you know what I'm saying? Like, people are really, really, really doing more for themselves and paying attention, you know? But that is not to deny the split is widening, right? Like, people chose which elevator, which floor they were on already. And the split is increasing. So as long as we remain true to our hearts and our purpose, and just treat others how you want to be treated, right? Do the best you can do. I don't think there's anything to worry about. I think that everything is going to be okay. Well, ultimately.
You know, before we get to another caller who's on the line, I want to present something to both of you and see what it is you want to do with it. Because I don't know. It seemed like you identified me as having optimism. It's not often something people throw on me. But you know what? Optimism to me always comes to something that sounds familiar to the term optimism, which is opportunity.
I'm an optimist. I'm just teasing you, silly.
It's cool. It's cool. But the thing is, it's based on the idea that opportunity is emerging. See, opportunity and optimism, they kind of go together. And so I see that there is an opportunity to take hold of some things right now and to do something if we choose. And I know that that option was always there, but it just seems to me that the time might be now. And a lot of people talk about the possibility of civil war and the great divide in the country.
It's a fact. And we have a couple more minutes, but that's just a fact. And go ahead and mark my words here and then tell me I'm wrong in 2025.
Okay, maybe. But to me, it seems like the civil war thing is more of a mechanic to get people to act a certain way, to not really truly commit to the concept of a civil war, but to just pantomime it a bit so that you can create more fear and division. See, to me, it all boils down
to... The thing is, it already started, though.
Well,
just because people don't have bayonets on the street or tanks outside their house, they're not fully... You know what I mean? The civil war already started. Like, you know, if you look at the news and...
Well, see, but that's the thing. Looking at the news, it is the twisted perception that is more dangerous.
Right. I don't look at the news. I'm just saying.
I do.
I have a Twitter feed, and I see real life videos, and I see real life experiences. Not to mention, I mean, come on. But maybe in our sphere, we're not experiencing that type of war, but when people are getting like carjacked and shot up and their kid left on the street and, you know, businesses raided and people are already fighting. There's people that used to not be afraid of other people's skin color who now are because certain, I guess, skin colors have a free pass.
Here's the thing, it's
pretty crazy.
If you have a great desire for a fight, you will find one, okay? It's just that simple.
And, right. I don't live in that world, I know people that do live in that world, and it's kind of scary.
But here's the thing, I consider it part of my job to stay tuned to the news, and here is the metaphorical, perfect, snapshot to keep everybody really thinking about what's actually going on. This craziness that, I don't know, people are going to start disguising fentanyl as Smarties, because that's a great business plan if you're a massive drug dealer, to turn around and, give away Halloween candy that's actually fentanyl. That is the great national panic, right, if you're observing the general mainstream news at the moment. It is a tremendous thing that is being reported on the local news everywhere you turn, not just the Sinclair stations, but your kids might be getting drugs instead of Halloween candy, you know, in the places where it hasn't been outlawed, and so
Ask
on and so forth.
Ask me how I feel about Halloween candy.
Well, wait a second. But wait a sec. Before we go there, here's the thing.
It was razor blades in the 70s. What, you know?
Yeah. But here's the thing. And that, again, was based on an urban myth. And here's the thing. This is now the newer urban myth.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned, maybe. But here's the thing. Who would, in their right mind, if your business is to distribute drugs, who in their right mind would seek to distribute it to, 10-year-olds? I mean, they don't have the cash to get hooked. They can...
I actually know people that were given and started drugs at those early ages, believe it or not.
Yes, I understand that. But given the current landscape and the functionality and ability for that generation as it stands, 10-year-olds,
and
when
like
we were
would
10,
even drug their children.
Yeah, but
you know, like
Okay.
Crazy stuff.
But honestly, from a business perspective, if you're working with millions of dollars and you're distributing stuff like this, is it part of a smart or decent business plan in any way, shape, or form to distribute? Okay. To
tell me one of their business plans that are on the up and up.
No, no, not on the up and up. I'm just saying when it comes to money.
That aren't subversive.
But my point is, it's not the way to go. Nobody's actually doing this. It is a frenzy that's being created right now that strangers might hand your kids Halloween candy that's actually fentanyl.
I don't appreciate that they continue to scare people from one another and everybody's your enemy and you always have to be on guard and everybody's going to kidnap your child or poison you. You know, clearly that's not true and part of the plan, but we can choose if we're going to fall for that. But honestly, don't we have a better way to celebrate than poisoning our children with these chemicals? Because how are... You know, like, is fentanyl worse than what's already in it? I don't know.
Well, okay. Look, that's a whole other argument, and I want to get to the caller before we run out of time, okay? And because we started late, we've got, you know, like, say, 15 more minutes to work with. So I want to get to him because I know he I recognize this number. I know he's got something to say about all this. We started with the question from Kevin about what is not apocalyptic at the moment, he asked. But I got a feeling our friend Jimmy James might want to contribute to the, well, the side of the equation that is quite apocalyptic at the moment. I mean, maybe that's my feeling. I could be wrong. But let's find out by adding Jimmy James to the discussion. So, Jimmy, you are live, sir. You see, you're not on a list. And if your phone feeds back, I'll mute you. But otherwise, you're free and clear to speak any which way. But first, tell me how you're doing tonight, man.
I'm doing pretty good, even though I'm on your list.
Yeah, I don't have a list. I'm sorry. I don't. I don't know who has a list or who would have you on.
Oh, you got the list. We all know it. You know it. I know it. Bob Dole knows it. All America knows
it. Bob Dole knows it?
No.
Bob Dole knows it.
All this.
Okay.
Jimmy James just wants to make clear that since he disagrees with everything that's been said the last 15, 20 minutes.
You disagree with everything?
Having a stroke.
Everything.
But I don't talk about that. Okay. I wanted to just tell one little tale about hypersensitivity and ass-suming, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'll go ahead and let you guys catch up with where I am.
No, go right ahead, and please, you have disagreements, you want to talk about hypersensitivity and assuming things, go ahead.
Yes. And for the record, Chuck, they don't want customers. The Tricoms want to kill people. Hmm. Okay, now back to my story.
Okay.
Now, we all know that, DDT is evil, right, Christy? Poisonous, cancerous.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be about right?
Yeah. She's actually on mute right now for a reason, but it's cool.
I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Okay.
I'm back. I'm sorry. I had to step away, and I just heard you say my name, but I didn't hear anything before that.
He was saying DDT is poisonous. We know this already, right?
Right.
This is what we've been all of our lives. We all assume it because what? Why? Well, turns out, according to new studies, it's not. And not only that, in 1960, the inventor of DDT was awarded the Nobel Prize because they figured out that he had saved 500 million lives by reducing the insect populations. And then some crazy lady journalist, who of course knows everything, all these journalists are so wise. Anyway, she wrote a book saying, oh, DDT is cancerous. And of course, JFK acted in a foolish reactionary way and banned DDT. And now I wonder how many lives that has cost. And meanwhile, cholera and all these diseases that should have gone the way of the dodo bird are making a comeback. And especially amongst the poorest populations, the southern United States, the India, places of the such, where we should have been using this DDT. But once again, the decivilization crowd won out. Hooray. Okay, I'm done.
And you believe everything you read.
I just want to know. I just want to know, Christy. I would like Christy to handle.
Okay.
Just hang on a second, Jimmy. I would like Christy to answer this about DDT because, to my understanding, and perhaps I have not read as much as some other people about this or don't know as much about it. It seems crazy to me that somebody is saying that DDT is somehow a good thing. But you know what? I'm always willing to unlearn and relearn. So, Christy, DDT, what do you know? And what do you think about this idea that some new study says that maybe it was a positive thing?
All I have to say is nothing is ever going to change my mind about the clear effect of chemical warfare upon the land and people.
But specifically, DDT.
And if it reduced bugs, then why are there more bugs than ever? And even in places that used to not have bugs, like the West Coast, right?
Been 60 years. That's why there's more bugs, Christy.
Right, yeah. So people can do whatever they want to do. Just don't poison my land and have fun.
And I would just like to interject when I blurted out, you believe everything you read. I don't believe the pro-DDT thing. I don't believe the anti-DDT. I don't even know if DDT is a real thing. You know, I'm to the point where I don't believe anything I'm told.
You're going to assume that I'm wrong because that's
now, Jimmy, do me a favor. When you're not speaking, mute your phone, okay? Because we're all kicking back on your line a bit. So do mute when you're not speaking. You guys hear that, right? I mean,
you guys hear that, right? I mean,
I'm echoing. I'm echoing back,
yeah,
Jimmy.
I'm echoing back.
Is what's happening. So yeah, when you're not speaking,
Jimmy,
if you
if
you could mute when you're not speaking, that would be real helpful. So go ahead and answer that thing from Kevin, though, what he was saying, and I'll be quiet. But when one of us others starts to speak and you're not speaking, it would be good for you to mute like you are right now. Now we're nice and clear. But I barely caught what Kevin was saying, except that he said he didn't necessarily believe the pro or the con on it because he doesn't even know enough about it. He doesn't even know if it actually exists, DDT, if I caught his answer correctly. But and Christy, I guess, stays on the side of it is still poisonous, has been poisonous, and that there are natural ways of dealing with bug populations that don't require such a chemical. But Jimmy, your point is that a new study apparently points to the idea that maybe it wasn't hazardous or dangerous in the first place.
Many new studies, not one.
Many. Okay.
So then what do you think has contributed to the crop, the soil depletion?
Chris, first thing you need to realize is DDT's been banned for 60 years. Okay.
Right. But all they did was just change the name. So.
No. That's not
okay, so yeah, I'm not gonna even, I've already done those shows, and yeah, so the same type of poison, it's been the same since the beginning of time, they've just changed the name a few times. And today, anyone can buy it off the shelf, and it's called Roundup glyphosate.
And Monsanto's called Bayer now.
Right. So none of this ever existed, right? You just keep changing the names.
Okay. And what would happen with 7 billion people if we had no control over the insect population, would you think?
You believe that we have control over the insect population? You believe that we have control over the insect population?
Well, look, factually, let's get to a couple of facts, okay? DDT has been limited in use in the U.S., yes, but not every country has eliminated it. It's not as though it's not on the planet, first of all. So since 1996, the EPA, this is from their website, has been participating in international negotiations to control the use of DDT and other persistent organic pollutants used around the world under the auspices of the United Nations Environmental Program. Countries joined together and negotiated a treaty to enact global bans or restrictions on global organic pesticides, a group that includes DDT. The treaty is known as the Stockholm Convention on POPs. The convention includes a limited exemption for the use of DDT to control mosquitoes, excuse me, that transmit the microbe that causes malaria, a disease that still kills millions of people worldwide. In September 2006, the World Health Organization declared its support for the indoor use of DDT in African countries, where malaria remains a major health problem. So what I'm saying is that, according to the EPA anyway, it's still used in other countries. It's encouraged in places like Africa to deal with things like malaria. And there's been a process that's been ongoing. Seems like the first ban was attempted in 1972, and this stuff was developed in the 1940s. Again, I'm just going over it very, very quickly here. Let's see. The U.S. Department of Agriculture Agency was responsible for negotiating pesticides before the formula. Okay, the Environmental Protection Agency was formed in 1970.
Okay, look up the 1960 Nobel Prize work in medicine. Let's see who got the chemist award. Let's see for what.
No, I concede.
Because
I concede that
Nobel Peace Prize winners are all about peace and love.
Well, remember,
so I just want to say in your text.
Like Obama.
Well, remember, Obama
exactly.
Got one of those. So really quickly, but really, hold on. Just really fast. The EPA wasn't even established till 1970, right? And that was one of those agencies that Nixon developed, and that's when this stuff started to happen as far as trying to ban it and eliminate it and all that kind of stuff, right?
No.
It was, you're telling me that that's wrong.
I wasn't lying to you because it was fun. I didn't make up the tale about JFK reading this stupid book and going on a crusade.
Yeah, I'm not saying you did.
Okay,
where did I say that?
Some stuff that
I
didn't make up.
Okay, I just said that the EPA wasn't established until 1970, which is when the ban actually goes into the hopper here, because that's when the agency had the ability to do that because it was created then. That's all I'm saying there. But this idea that JFK took actions, I'm vaguely aware of that. I think that your story's probably true. I didn't say you were lying about any of that. I'm just saying that that I don't know that this stuff is a good idea. I'm just saying that I don't know that it's a good solution in any way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, I find it odd that they call it part of the organic pesticides group, because I never thought of DDT as even remotely organic.
Well, because they changed the definition, and the same people that made Agent Orange made DDT and made glyphosate, which is poisoning everything. In your chat, I posted a link to my site showing multiple links from their own sources, and I'll just read, like, in relation to celiac disease.
Okay.
In this paper, we have systematically shown how all of the features of celiac disease can be explained by glyphosate's known properties. This include disrupting the shikimate pathway, altering the balance between pathogens and beneficial biota in the gut, chelating transition metals as well as sulfur and selenium, and inhibiting cytochrome P450 enzymes. We argue that a key system-wide pathology in celiac disease is impaired sulfate supply to the tissues, and that is also a key component of glyphosate's toxicity to humans. Okay? And that's just one of the links and evidence on multiples. So if you want to read some new study and think that's the answers to everything, go ahead. But there's multiple articles on my site with all of their information. And if you think that these sprays are so beneficial, just please answer why the depletion of soil and nutrients, and why are people so unhealthy that 70% of the population needs a pill?
Well, glyphosate, just as a quick question, in general. Well, let me just ask you a question in general real fast, Jimmy, if you don't mind. Do you think that glyphosate is a safe and a good, healthy thing to use as a pesticide? It's a general sort of pesticide, which, let's see, I guess it says there are over 750 different types of plants that it actually completely kills. And it's one of those things that does that quite effectively. It's definitely a great herbicide.
I mean, if you believe that, like, known criminals are doing this for our best interest, clearly watching the depletion of everything, nature, people's health, etc. I mean, enjoy that belief, but it doesn't make it factual.
Absolutely.
Well, anyway.
100 years ago, when people lived off the farm, off their food, what was the average lifespan versus now, Christy? And why the difference?
People use glyphosate. You can go to a store and buy the exact same chemical today with a new label. And you can go look at PubChem, and they will tell you the molecular structure and see what these things actually are. So anyways, try to answer my questions instead of say, well, how come grandparents were healthy and we're not? Well, your grandparents weren't taking the pills you take.
In the past few years, we do have a decline.
And it's not the length of life, it's the quality of life.
We do have a decline in life expectancy in the past decade or so. I know that in general. So, you know, the
last year, half.
Well, the past decade or so, there's a clear trending down of the general life expectancy of the average American, according to a bunch of things that I read. But it depends on how you read these studies, you know, and which studies
so
you read.
Yes, read the studies that I posted in these links, and then let's talk about it next week or Friday.
Well, actually, yeah, that would be a great thing. Do you want to have a whole discussion about herbicides and these chemicals, like, as a whole show next week?
I don't know if I will. See, here's the thing. I've done these shows. I've put the information out there, and now I want to focus on the solutions, and I feel that, like, talking about what they, whoever they are, you know, are doing, or all of the bad things, that it's just a distraction from my attention that, you know, because my purpose is to make it better and at least heal it where I am in some small way.
Well, see, but the reason why
so
I
asked, like to talk about solutions, and we can discuss the fact that it's been proven detrimental and the cause of fires and all in the West Coast and things like that, if you don't want to discuss the soil depletion or celiacs or all of these things, gluten intolerance that didn't exist before these chemicals. So yeah, I'll have a short discussion about that after you read my articles and links, and I'll read his, and we can discuss that. But then I'd like to spend the rest of the time talking about solutions.
Well, what I'd like to
do, that's okay.
You know, absolutely, solutions is the direction to go in. But what I think would be helpful is to explain to people why avoiding some of these things that have been exposed to what the factory farming industry does, and how choosing to embrace things that are grown locally by people that don't use this stuff is a better option. I mean, why not give them the brass tacks? Here's the thing, right? This is what glyphosate does. This is what these other pesticides do. This is what the stuff that they spray on it to keep its color up does to you, you know, so that it looks good in the grocery store, to explain that there is truly a difference between that which is grown without this stuff and that which is grown with it, right? I mean, wouldn't that be a helpful thing to at least, you know, in part point out, or no?
Right. So I also just posted another link, Chuck, that it's a 32-page report that with graphs, okay, that shows the, again, clinically proven stats that show the rise of each of Parkinson's, cancer, diabetes, bowel diseases, autism, and more, and their direct correlation with glyphosate. So I just posted that in your chat, a PDF. And again, if anybody read those two blogs, there's multiple links. Educate yourself, and then we'll discuss it next week.
Well, The thing to get to, though, is to show the connectivity. Hang on a second. Jimmy, hang on just a sec. The thing to show here, because we're almost at the end of the show, is the direct connectivity. Like, I'm hearing you say that glyphosate is equivalent to DDT. So to show
that's
people...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but to show people that, where that can be shown empirically, separately from us, that would be, is that included in your links here, where it shows that basically that's what that is equivalent to, that is akin to it? Is that
pretty
already?
Much. The same makers produced the same things that caused the same results.
But does it chemically contain the same exact stuff? I mean, like, is it a literal
there
thing, or is it just...
There are, read those blogs, and any extra information anybody wants by next week, I will make sure that you have it. But yeah, it took me a long time to write those and find all of the links and the graphs and everything for those blogs, so, check them out and let me know. All questions, we'll just make a whole show, and then, yeah, we'll discuss it. But again, hopefully the bulk of the time is solutions.
Oh, no, definitely.
But yeah, this is kind of my thing for a while. Yeah. I even got kicked out of this so-called environmental group. Yeah, because they were covering up for the problems that they brought to everybody's interest.
Fair enough. So, all right, with that, I want to give Jimmy a chance to say what he would like, because we are actually over time now. I'll leave this all intact, though, for the podcast, which, that way you guys will be able to hear the whole thing uninterrupted, because apparently we had some interruptions on the live stream. I'll have to reset the server after the show and fix that. Anyway.
I would also like to make a non-technical comment, quick comment.
Sure.
If I could.
Sure. Kevin, go ahead, and then we'll let Jimmy get his points in.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This will be quick. Christy, on her Soul Journeys radio show, she interviewed Sonia, the truther girl from Canada. And I specifically remember Sonia saying she'd go into the dentist and saying she didn't want fluoride. And the dentist assistant was like, "Oh, poor fluoride." you know, because it gets such a bad rap, poor fluoride. And I feel like Jimmy James is like, oh, poor DDT. So that's just going to be my, that's my last word.
That's cool.
So,
okay.
Well, poor chemical.
We'll leave all it right, at that. And I'm
where
not.
Where do y'all think these diseases like, deer, what's that, wasting syndrome or, mad cow disease or all of these? I mean, you believe that we have insects under control and that this chemical pollutant, even though it was banned by multiple entities, isn't bad, but you haven't actually presented any evidence. And you're talking over me.
I do not believe that it's under control. And the evidence is just what you said, the increase in disease.
Okay. Well, let's let Jimmy get his points in, and then what we'll do
so
is...
need to do that show now.
Well, no, we'll do that discussion because I'd like to actually break it down and have it organized and take these links and obviously I'll put them in with the show notes from tonight, but I'd like to let Jimmy get his points out, whatever it was he wants to close on here, and we'll close out this show. Didn't expect somebody to come on and defend DDT. But hey, you know,
that's a little weird.
When you open up the phones and you say what you want, you never know what you might get. And, it would be interesting though, if somehow, I don't know how, because I've always, had this opinion that DDT crap is just bad. But, you know, maybe, who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Jimmy, go ahead. Make your, final points and we'll close out the show after that.
Oh yeah, I just remind everyone to stay in reality, believe your eyes, don't believe your ears, and use your noggin. You gotta vote. I know I'm the lone guy saying that. Vote. Because your life literally depends on it. We're less than 20 days before we run out of diesel fuel, and then we'll be living.
Why are we going to run out of diesel fuel?
We're running out of diesel fuel? I didn't hear this yet. Okay.
And in fact, we got 7 billion people, and if we just use old conventional farming ways, half the population would die from starvation. So we gotta use common sense. We can't be reactionaries just because one person says, oh, well, this corona disease, oh my goodness, it's deadly. We better shut down society. Maybe we should start examining these things before we go around proselytizing them. Okay, that's all I got. Good night.
All right, Jimmy. Well, I'm a little confused, but glad you called in. And appreciate you, man.
I'm Kevin, still not going to vote.
I'm not participating in that because, like I said, there's a shaming campaign going on in Georgia where they're literally broadcasting out there, your friends and neighbors will know if you did your civic duty or not.
Yeah, I'll be on that list.
Yeah, no thanks, because I just won't be on the list. And apparently they put your name and address on a list, and people have access to it to find out whether you voted or not. Now, I knew that with a little bit of difficulty, we could track that down a few years ago. That's how we learned that, you know, somebody who claimed to be living in exile in Sweden was actually, you know, voting in North Carolina and was consistently showing up and doing that, kind of busting people in their own BS lies when they said that they were not allowed to enter the United States. Somehow, they found their way to go to a polling station in North Carolina while they were, you know, expatriated from the country. But, you know, people tell their stories any which way they want. I'm not going to join in the voting melee. I'm going to comment on it. And I think that that's a much more honest way. I don't have a dog in the fight because as far as I'm concerned, they're not worthy of being dogs. Dogs are wonderful animals and, politicians are not. But anyway, Kevin, maybe you have a final word here, on something else or whatever. I give you the floor and then I'll let Christy close out the show entirely.
No, I've said enough. I'm sure I gave my final word twice at least. So, thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it.
All right, fair enough. But I always love to give people plenty of chances to say what it is they want to say. So I'm going to put you on hold. And Christy, I guess the final word goes to you. I enjoyed the majority of the discussion tonight. I showed you Buster the puppy during the break. So there's that bit of a smile. He was licking my nose because that's what he does. He's a puppy. But anyway, you know, we talked about some positive things and being proactive on the patch of dirt that you happen to be standing or sitting or living on a bit. Of course, Christy is super active there at the Ozarks Church of Nature and the Magical Food Forest that she has created with her two hands and the resources of what it is she could gather within her own community, which I think is wonderful, excellent, and something to be lauded and looked at. And by the way, go to mytrueessence.net, take a look at some of the stuff that Christy has put together, great things to do, great things, some large, some small. Interesting stuff for sure. You can be educated and go to ChristyAphrodite.com, where indeed you could be listening to this show live or on replay, because, you know, she's got that little player there and she's got the 24-hour Ocelli.com radio stream as well. So anyway, all that having been said, I also want to remind you that I'm still doing the sticker offer. Anybody who makes any kind of contribution, if you send me a mailing address, you know, up until selection day, I'm sure I won't get all that much support anyway, so I've got plenty of stickers. I'll send you guys handfuls of those and some other surprises in your flat envelopes. I even offered to send some of these beat-up silver certificates I have. I have a couple of silver certificates, old dollar bills. I'll include them randomly in envelopes. And I send almost everybody, when I send them a piece of mail, some playing cards as well. So get your addresses in, get your donations in. Every dollar will count. Trying to reestablish a thing on AM and FM radio. We'll see if that happens. And just trying to keep the lights on and the bills paid so you can be a part of the effect if you do so. And there's my whole plug. Christy, the absolute final word on this Tuesday belongs to you, sweetie. Go ahead.
Oh, man. Okay, thank you. There were a few things I wanted to address, but then you just kept going and I got lost. But I did... If Jimmy's still around, I want to know if he would drink a glass of sulfuric acid.
Well, he's not on the line anymore, but...
Oh, okay. Well, would drink a glass, so let me know in the chat. And if not, then I definitely would encourage you to read the links I provided and to do just a little bit more research. If you are concerned about that issue, but either way, I don't want to fight with anyone. There's just, I live the way I live because it's what I believe in, and I'm not trying to, like, tell anyone else that you have to do the same. I like to encourage and help others who do want more of that in their life. But I definitely, you know, if you want chemicals, pretty please put it in your garden, and I'm just going to keep growing my garden the way I'm doing it. And I would also encourage everyone to do the same, right? Like, does it really matter what our neighbor is doing or thinking or believing, or if they believe the latest study, or if they voted for the latest, you know? Does it really matter at the end of the day? I don't think so. I think it's a good opportunity. I mean, especially if you're even allowed to discuss things that you disagree with, it's a good way to build community and learn, you know, hopefully in a respectful way, and hopefully either cement your own beliefs and, you know, or learn something else. And again, just, you know, one step closer to living what you really believe in. And I support that for everyone. So thank you so much. It was fun and interesting.
Well, you know, it's something different every time we get together on the mic here on Tuesdays.
I want to happen.
So you never know what's going to happen. I thank you, Christy, for taking the time. I thank you guys for listening. And, you know, look, even the opinions and, information we don't necessarily find agreeable, let's examine it all and make the best decisions we can for ourselves. The Ocelli Effect is done. So no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, I just want to remind you that I am merely Ocelli, and all of you are indeed the effect. Good night.